We leave politics at the door and share what's going on in our community. Welcome back to Four States Live.
With us this morning, Nick Edwards. He is the city manager for the city of Joplin. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Are you ready for 2020 to be over?
I'm so ready. I think I might even just do like three resolutions instead of just one. I'm so excited for 2021.
Three resolutions.
Yeah, I'm ready for 2021.
I think we all are, and hopefully we're not going to be like, hopefully it's not going to be a repeat or...
Anything but 2020 would be fine for me.
Yes. So talk about the last several months, because you came in partway into the year for this. You had a lot of challenges. You were already in the middle of a pandemic when you came in. So talk about some of the challenges that you have been facing and maybe what's on the horizon for the city of Joplin.
Sure. You mentioned a lot of challenges. I also had a lot of help. As you mentioned, you know, the pandemic kind of started as I started. So it was a unique opportunity to get to know a new staff, new coworkers, and also try to find our way through a response to the pandemic. So I am so thankful for the coworkers that I have at the city of Joplin. They're phenomenal. They're dedicated, and I couldn't be with a better group. So I've said this as much as I can. Out of all the city managers in the country, I feel like I'm the most fortunate.
Well, you also got to come home, too.
Yes, there's that. It certainly is good to be home and, you know, reconnect with the folks that, you know, I've had good relationships with. And it's a pleasure to serve the hometown.
You know, you and I, you've already said we're looking forward to 2021. We don't care if you've got kittens on your calendars, puppies, you know, whatever. We're looking forward to a new calendar and maybe for a new year, maybe kind of almost a fresh start for the city of Joplin. What do you see on the horizon?
Yeah, I'm really excited. The city has done some great work, especially our mayor and council. A lot of cities during the pandemic hunkered down. You know, they kind of shrunk, or so to speak. But not the city of Joplin. We forged ahead in spite of. We weren't. You know, we wanted to come out on the other end of the pandemic in as a better organization and a stronger community, and that was really led by our mayor and council. On November 30th, they had a strategic planning workshop, and so they spent a lot of time focusing on the future of the community and what are some of the things that we need to address. And that's phenomenally important for a city. Just like individuals, nothing of consequence we kind of just randomly do. It's whenever we set our minds to something that we get significant things done. So that's what the city council did for the city of Joplin and the community. And so we're going to set our minds to some things, and I think it's going to phenomenally improve the community.
You know, one of the things I've seen, and, you know, some people gripe about Facebook or, you know, social media, but what I have seen is city council members out there asking for input. They are looking for the public's input, whether it's through surveys through you directly through the city or whether it's through their own surveys. They are really kind of working towards listening to the residents here in Joplin.
Sure. I'm of the belief that, you know, a city will do its best work when we're meeting the community needs. We don't know the community needs unless we ask, unless we listen. And the city in the last probably 6 months has, I think, in my view, done a phenomenal job of going to its residents and asking, what do you want the future of this community to be like? I was thankful for the participants that, you know, provided responses to my listening tour. We've done, we're in the progress of completing two master plans. Those are significant documents for us. We had, you know, a specific call for responses for Ewart, the Ewart Park and Memorial Hall. And so we've just done a phenomenal job of, I think, listening to our residents and using their feedback to make future plans.
Well, speaking of, you know, your listening tour and, you know, maybe specifically with whatever you can give me at this point, how do you take those responses and make that master plan? Like, how do you figure out what the best potential need is?
Sure. I was thankful for the responses. My job as the city manager is to help translate what the council wants from the organization into operations. And so I provided the city council the listening tour information, and they were able to go through that information and decide goals and priorities for the organization. And so now I'm getting to do a lot of work and to coming up with plans to meet those goals.
So that'll be coming out probably when?
You're going to start to see plans roll out in January and February. And so the next couple months are going to be really busy for us at the city of Joplin.
So we've got that to look forward to. And we're going to be talking more with Nick Edwards, again, the city manager with the city of Joplin. That's coming up next on Four States Live.
Here's your local news on 860 AM KKOW and 97.5 FM Joplin.
This is your KOAM news update. I'm Tanya Bach. The Joplin Health Department is providing an update on who will get the first doses of the vaccine. The first phase, called Phase 1A, is already underway, and that involves vaccinating residents at long-term care facilities and patients facing healthcare workers. Phase 1B will include those who are considered high risk, first responders, and essential workers. Phase 2 will include other high risk populations like prisoners and the homeless. The third phase will include all Missourians. The Joplin Health Department says how quickly we advance to the next stage will depend on vaccine distribution. The Jasper County Health Department reports five more COVID-19-related deaths. Officials say the patients were a man in his 50s, two women in their 60s, a woman in her 70s, and a woman in her 80s. This brings Jasper County's total deaths to 97. From the KOAM Newsroom, I'm Tanya Bach.
KOAMNewsNow.com, offering expanded breaking news and local coverage in the four states. Watch full newscasts from KOAM and Fox 14. See breaking news events and get weather alerts wherever you are. KOAMNewsNow.com, your go-to source for online news.
Hi, I'm Denny Heidrich from Heidrich's Appliance in Fort Scott and Girard. In this day and age, our largest competitors are slashing important customer services, which you need. I pledge to you that we at Heidrich's will not take these important values away from you, our valued customer. You can count on Heidrich's to actually stock the appliances we sell. What a novel idea. Since we stock the appliances we sell, you can count on us to deliver the same day a replacement refrigerator for the one that just went out, if you purchase it by 12 noon. Our associates are trained to consult with you to find the appliances that best meets your needs. If you don't love it, we'll replace it with our 30-day satisfaction guarantee. I'm sure you'll agree with me. These are all valuable customer services that makes your life easier. At Heidrich's, we provide all this for virtually the same price and sometimes less than the other guys, earning your trust and your appliance purchase. Heidrich's, 15th and National, Fort Scott, and the west side of the square, Girard.
Seton Farm Supply in Lamar is excited to announce they are now the four states stocking Westfield dealer. Since 1951, Westfield has developed and refined the most dependable augers available, with a commitment to adaptive designs and innovations. Westfield has become the leading portable grain auger manufacturer in the world. Stop in or call Marty or Russ and check out the end-of-year deals Westfield is offering today. Seed and Farm Supply, located at 33 Northeast 1st Lane, Lamar, 417-682-6465.
If you're a farmer or a rancher, chances are you've thought about joining Kansas Farm Bureau. So what's stopping you? Your membership means you have a seat at the table when it comes to the issues that affect your farm. Things like trade, taxes, water, and regulations. The state's largest farm advocacy organization brings your message to policy decision makers at the county, state, and national level. The Voice of Agriculture becomes your voice and fights for Kansas farmers and ranchers. And a Kansas Farm Bureau membership includes other benefits. For about $50 a year, you'll receive discounts on equipment and supplies, cell phone plans, financial and legal support, home and office supplies, and more. You'll also receive Kansas Living, a quarterly lifestyle magazine featuring real stories of farmers and producers around the state, plus great recipes, crafts, and things to see and do in Kansas. Join us today. Visit kfb.org/farmer-rancher to learn more.
Tatum Motor Company's got the largest selection of Mahindra tractors around. Did you know that Mahindra tractors have steel axles? They're not aluminum like some other brands. Tatum Motor Company in Anderson, Missouri, or Springdale, Arkansas. Online at tatummotor.com.
Good morning. Today is Tuesday, December 22nd, the 357th day of 2020. Only 9 days are left in the year, and there will be 9 hours and 35 minutes of daylight today. Sunrise today was at 7:30 a.m., with sunset coming at 5:05 p.m. And now let's take a look back at the closing markets for Monday, December 21st. Market data provided by Bar Chart. At the Mercantile, live cattle for December was 12 cents higher at 110.60. February lost 20 cents at 114.65. And April finished a nickel higher at 118.70. Feeder cattle for January added 17 cents at 140.62. March closed at 143.12, adding 82 cents. And April gained 85 cents at 144.75. Lean hogs for February was 12 cents higher at 65.92. April closed 7 cents higher at $70 even. And May was 22 cents higher at 74.80. From the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat closed at 6.11 and a quarter, adding 3. May was at 6.12 and a quarter, gaining 3. And July was 2 and a quarter higher at 6.06 even. Corn for March added 2.5 at 4.40 even. May was 2 and 3 quarters higher at 4.42 even. And July closed at 4.42 and a quarter, climbing 2.5. Soybeans for January added 23 and a quarter at 12.43 and a quarter. March was at 12.47 and a half, up 23 and a half. And May was 23 cents higher at 12.46 and three quarters. Soybean meal for January added $6.80 at 4.12.30. March was at 4.12.10, up 6.80. And May added $8.10 at 4.09.60. Soybean oil for January lost 11 points at 39.96. March fell 12 points at 39.55, and May closed at 39.12, dropping 5 points. At the Kansas City Board of Trade, March wheat closed at 574 and a half, up 5 and a quarter. May added 4 and 3 quarters at 578 and a quarter, and July closed at 580 and a half, rising 4 and 3 quarters. That's been a look at Monday's closing markets. I'm downtown Keith Brown on the Four States Ag Leader.
Weather brought to you by Creative Audio. Make your Christmas creative with Creative Audio. Give the number one holiday gift this year. Buy a Viper remote start system and get a $100 gift card free. New JBL Bluetooth party box on sale now. Bundle and save. Kicker 12-inch base package $199. JL Audio Club Series subwoofers buy one, get one free. Downtown 7th and Main, Joplin.
Here's your forecast on 860 AM KKOW and 97.5 FM Joplin.
With a clear and quiet start to our morning, clouds will gradually move in today, but temperatures will soar well above average, or high 66 with gusty south winds. Clouding up tonight, our low 48, could see some scattered showers towards morning, then falling temperatures when a front moves through Wednesday into the upper 30s. From the AMI Radio Group 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ann Holliday.
7:40, and it's 40 in Joplin, Missouri. 63% humidity, got a wind out of the southeast at 6, and it's 7:40. You're up to date.
You never know who might stop by, but it's going to be fun and informative. Welcome back to Four States Live.
And welcome back. It is Four States Live on Tuesday, December the 22nd. Back with us this morning, Nick Edwards. He is the city manager for the city of Joplin. And, you know, a lot of people this time of year, they start setting resolutions for themselves. But the city of Joplin has set goals, and six of them specifically.
Yep, six. I've got them memorized.
You got them memorized in order?
Not quite in order. Not a specific order?
Okay. So number one,
The first one I think is an important endeavor, and that is to do some neighborhood revitalization. Mm-hmm. As I've shared with you before, the community's nearly 150 years old, and so there's some signs of decline, and so we need to do some work in the neighborhoods to strengthen those neighborhoods, so that Joplin is seen as a place where you can have a quality, you know, high quality of life, you know, good home environment. And so we'll need to spend some significant resources and effort and energy into doing some neighborhood revitalization. So that's goal number one.
And, you know, it takes, you know, you and I have also talked about this in the past. Sometimes it's a coat of paint. Sometimes it's cleaning up the yard. Sometimes it is demolition, unfortunately. I mean, I hate to see the old buildings coming down, but sometimes that is what it takes to kind of clean up an area.
Unfortunately, you're right. Unfortunately, you know, some of those neighborhoods or buildings that are in decline, you have to think about what kind of statement that's making to somebody who's looking to move here. Why would they want to move to a community that looks in disrepair, you know, that there's maybe not that pride of ownership or pride of neighborhood kind of feeling? They can probably find that elsewhere. So if we want to continue to be vibrant, if we want to continue to grow, if we want our economy to be able to continue to grow, we have to be more attractive as a community.
And again, sometimes just a coat of paint is all it takes.
Yeah, some the paint will go a long ways.
It will. And, you know, and you can buy good paint now. It lasts like 10, 15 years. You just got to pay for the paint. But so goal number two.
Is address the homelessness issue. Mm-hmm. That is a tough one for cities. I think often a lot of society's concerns are brought to local government and local government's asked to fix those, and that's not necessarily our role all the time. But the homeless issue is tough. You know, obviously there's a need to provide assistance to those in need, you know, from a human to human perspective.
Sure.
But there's also a need to protect the community. One of the most essential services that the city provides is protecting private property, whether it be through actions that the police department takes or the fire department takes. And so we have to limit not the destruction of private property, but limit the kind of the negative consequences of homelessness, and but also, you know, be compassionate in the same way. So
and that's a fine line that you have to walk too.
Sure, it absolutely is. I mentioned in my listening tour report that in 2015, Joplin was found to be the most philanthropic city in the state of Missouri. And so what that tells me is there's a phenomenal level of care and compassion for those in need. And that's great, and that's something we should celebrate. That's a strength. But what I feel like has happened in Joplin is there hasn't been that balance to protect the community from those that are doing harm. Mm-hmm. Taking advantage. My view is that the city hasn't done a good job in enforcing some of those things. And so, unfortunately, what that looks like is the city being the bad guy in some regards. But also, this problem has been around for thousands of years. If there was a solution for it,
we
would have found one by now. So I do think addressing the homeless issue requires two things. It requires some element of providing better, more focused, intentional assistance. And I also think the other side is true, too, that we need to do a better job of protecting the community.
Do you think that you're going to have a harder time coming off of a pandemic addressing that?
Certainly. Not immune. I've certainly seen the headlines about, you know, the growing number of folks in need, and you know, what that might mean for communities and what programs might be out there. And so this could be making issues worse. We could be climbing uphill, so to speak, in that regard.
So and of course, I know you and I are going to be getting more into this in the coming months, because, again, these are goals that are set for 2021. We haven't gotten that new calendar yet, so we're working on it. But goal number three.
Goal number three is to improve the overall appearance of the community. There's a lot of probably beautification efforts that we can undertake. We need to cater to, or we need to present ourselves in such a way that we're attracting the people that we want to move into the community. And so we can do a better job of putting a better face on the community and the way we present ourselves. And we can do that through some beautification efforts, and general maintenance and upkeep are going to be kind of significant efforts for us as we look into 2021.
Well, you've got three more goals, and we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get the other three goals coming out of you. Again, Nick Edwards, the city manager for the city of Joplin. That's coming up next here on Four States Live.
You're listening to Four States Live with Shannon Bruffett on 860 AM KKOW, 97.5 FM, and 105.3 New Life Radio.
It's time to save on the powerfully versatile Kubota M7 tractor. With up to 168 horsepower, superior loader lift capacity, and operator-friendly control,
controls and comfort. Now, write it off a lot and write it off your taxes while getting the Kubota M7 tractor for zero down and 0% APR for 60 months. Now through December 31st. Call us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Visit the Machine Shed in Iola, Kansas, or check them out online at themachineshed.com.
Cozy up for the holidays with 60% off everything at Banana Republic Factory, including soft sweaters, comfy pajamas, must-have gifts, and more from $9.99. Find your nearest store now, only at Banana Republic Factory. Get 50 to 70% off almost everything at Gap Factory and GapFactory.com. Plus, shop new doorbusters for the family, including outerwear, jeans, and our Gap logo crewneck sweatshirt. Find it all at Gap Factory or GapFactory.com through December 14th.
Asthma symptoms can attack anywhere, like on a city street. Now you can get fast relief anywhere with new improved Primatene Mist, the only FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. So whether you need relief of symptoms at the park or at your kitchen table, Primatene Mist starts working quickly, opening up your airways to restore free breathing. For temporary relief of mild symptoms of intermittent asthma, use Primatene Mist and breathe easy again. Available at CVS, Rite Aid, and Walgreens. Use as directed.
This message brought to you by the law offices of Morrison, Webster, and Carlton, your number one workers' compensation lawyers. Find them at their Joplin or Springfield location or call them directly. 417-781-5690. Morrison, Webster, and Carlton.
Do you have timber on your land that you want to get rid of? Have you thought, I wonder what my trees are worth? Much like corn or soybeans, those trees may be a cash-producing crop. Don't just doze your trees down and then set them on fire. Call Josh Hartness Logging instead. With over 25 years of experience, Josh Hartness Logging will come survey the tree species you have on your land and take the guesswork out of harvesting that timber. Next time you think, I'd like to get rid of that swath of trees, give Josh Hartness Logging a call at 620-212-0896.
For over 60 years, GN Bank has hosted a Christmas Eve feast to say thank you to the community. While the pandemic has changed our lives in 2020, GN Bank is continuing the tradition. With the safety of all friends, neighbors, and employees in mind, meals will only be served drive-through style at 109 North Summit in Girard. While it will look slightly different this year, they still hope to see all their friends and neighbors on Thursday, December 24th from 10 a.m. until noon in Girard. GN Bank, member FDIC.
This is Four States Live with Shannon Bruffett. Welcome back.
And welcome back. It is Four States Live. Sorry, my headphones, they got a little tangled. But we are back on this Tuesday, December the 22nd. With us this morning, again, Nick Edwards, the city manager for the city of Joplin. We've gone through three goals of the six main goals for the city of Joplin. I'm sure there are more than six, but these are the main goals. We talked about basically appearance, you know, beautification projects, homelessness, and neighborhood improvements for like the blighted areas. What's goal number four?
Goal number four is improve our public safety services. I think the city of Joplin has a phenomenal public safety group with our police, our fire, our health department.
And the fire chief's going to be on here soon, so yeah. I'm sure he's listening, so you got to say good things.
Well, what an incredible job they do for us. I know that in the news recently that it's been the Olivia fire. If you follow the coverage, you can see what a well-trained, well-equipped fire department looks like. They're just phenomenal professionals, and the city's fortunate to have their service. Same for our police department. They've been asked more as a group to lean into some of those societal issues and work on those. And so they have a lot of different roles and duties and responsibilities. And so they're servants, you know, and we're thankful that they have chosen to work for the city of Joplin. So when we talk about improving public safety services, we talk about maybe looking at different technology. Staffing could certainly be something to look at. If the community continues to grow, we need to staffing levels in those areas need to keep pace. Otherwise, yes. There'll be a decline. And all of the goals, they wouldn't be worth a lot if we're not taking care of the public safety stuff first. So We want to be a safe community, and I know we've got some dedicated professionals in those groups that will help us get there.
They are a very dedicated group of men and women. I will tell you that. I've worked well on both sides. They're amazing. So goal number five.
Goal number five is a bigger one. It's in regards to economic development, improving economic opportunities for all of Joplin. Frankly, that's one that the city government has kind of a lead role in. There's nobody that really does, you know, aside from the chamber and downtown Main Street. There's nobody that privately can do economic development. So that's an important. That is, you know, seeking to bring new investment into the community. When you have new investment, again, you see maybe better job quality, you know, wage mobility, economic mobility. And so, you know, the thought is the rising tide will lift all boats. And so I'm so thankful for Toby Teeter, the Chamber of Commerce, Tony Robine, and Lori Hahn at Downtown Joplin Alliance. They're doing an incredible job in marketing the city to people that are looking to move.
And, you know, and we have the chamber on a regular basis, and there are different aspects that you really have to look at. And it's not easy. It's not an overnight job to, like, bring in a huge company or a box store. It takes months.
It's an incredible effort. And the checklist that companies are looking for is getting longer by the day. If they're moving or investing in a community, they want to know that it has good schools. They want to know that it has amenities, entertainment, good public safety, and on and on and on. And so it's harder and harder to land those because, you know, frankly, Joplin's in competition with the rest of the country in some regards. So I think we've got a phenomenal group that can deliver some good wins for us in 2021. And I think it'll be a benefit to the community.
Goal number six.
Goal number six is kind of
I feel like I'm on a weird countdown, like on the radio. Well, I am on the radio doing a weird countdown.
Yeah, goal number six. Okay. It's kind of the catch-all goal, but it is a goal that's stating that we want to be a more resilient community. And so there's a lot of different things a city should do to improve our services so that we're more efficient, so that we're more resilient, whether that be increased technology, you know, use of technology. It could be modernization of our revenue stream. Frankly, the city is kind of in a tough spot. We have all of our eggs in a sales tax basket, and so that's not good planning. That doesn't allow for reliable municipal services to the community. So we may need to address some of that, some of those concerns, but really when we talk about resiliency, it's making sure that our organization is properly staffed, equipped to meet today's needs and the needs in the future.
Well, going back a couple of sentences there, you talk, you know, that all of our eggs are in the sales tax basket. How potentially would you go about addressing that or fixing that, or like, and how would that even happen? Would it have to go before a vote of the people? Or
the tax issue's tough. Nobody likes taxes. I certainly don't either. But the city of Joplin is in a difficult spot because most of our revenue comes from sales tax. That sales tax is eroding year after year because sales tax isn't collected on online shopping. So we've got a hole in the ship. And, you know, aside from that, we don't, you know, if that whole ship goes down, whether it be through a 2008 or 2007 or 2008 recession, we're in deep trouble. You know, the city would be looking at, you know, difficult decisions to make sure that the very basic essential services are maintained. That's not going to cut it, and that's not going to put us in a position to thrive when there's more that we need to be doing for the community. So I think the community will need to invest in itself. I think the community will need to support additional staffing, additional resources for the city of Joplin if we are to reverse some of this decline and pivot from where we are today.
I love the word pivot. I've been hearing that a lot lately. And it makes me always think of that scene from Friends when they're trying to haul up the couch for Ross's apartment. He's yelling, pivot, Pivot. Uh-huh. Pivot. We're pivoting. Yeah. So you've obviously got some difficult decisions. Well, you don't necessarily make the decisions. You make the recommendations to the council to move forward, correct?
Certainly. I serve our mayor and council. They represent the people. And so that's why their work to come up with the vision and the goals is so important to me, because I know that they're bringing what they hear in the community to bear. And like I said earlier, the city is doing its best work when we're responding to the needs of the community.
So definitely take part in listening tours, take part in those surveys. If you signed up through Parks and Rec on other things, I've gotten some emails saying, hey, you know, you want to take part in this survey, like, let's listen to this. And they're really wanting to get the feedback and compile everything to, it may not be everybody's favorite decision, but you're looking for the best overall decision.
Certainly. And again, I appreciate you mentioning that. It's the surveys and the participation and input we seek. That's your local government asking you for your opinion. That is your local government listening. And often we're criticized for not listening, but probably over the last 6 months, we've provided ample opportunity for you to tell your local government what you want for the community into the future.
So you've cleaned the wax out of your ears. You're listening, right?
Right. Yeah.
You are listening. So take part in those surveys when you have an opportunity. If you're a resident of the city of Joplin or in your own community, if you've got another city, if you live in Neosho and the city manager there is asking for your opinion, give it.
I'd even welcome unsolicited outside of survey input. If you want to hit up the city's Facebook about things that you think would improve in those goal areas, it's an open call for ideas and in your thoughts. Let's raise the level of dialogue about that's occurring in the community, and let's focus it on meaningful issues that will help us be better as a community.
I like the idea. Well, Nick, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And we're going to be kind of sticking with the city of Joplin. I know Jimmy's kind of running a little bit behind. They had an emergency this morning. But the fire chief with the city of Joplin is going to be stopping by. We're going to be talking about fire safety. That's coming up next on Four States Live. Have a great day.
Keeping you informed and safe during severe weather. 860 AM KKOW and 97.5 FM Joplin. 860 AM KKOW Pittsburgh and 97.5 FM K248 DR Joplin.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Capital One Bank.
I'm Vicki Barker in London. $600 checks on their way soon to millions of Americans after Congress approves a new COVID stimulus bill. CBS's Nancy Cordes reports.
The stimulus checks will go to individuals who make less than $75,000 a year or couples making less than $150,000. $600 more per child means a family of five will get $3,000.
I would like them been bigger, but they are significant.
There's also $25 billion to help renters, $13 billion for food stamps and child nutrition benefits, and $10 billion for child care to help parents get back to work, plus $300 a week jobless benefits for the next 2.5 months.
And the Commerce Department has just reported that the U.S. economy grew by a record 33.4% in the 3 months ending in September, fueled largely by the first $3 trillion stimulus package. Coronavirus, two vaccines now in circulation. But as CBS's Cammy McCormick reports, how they're administered is all over the map.
Some states like New Jersey have had to push back the date for vaccinating residents and staff of long-term care facilities. The state's health director.
The information about anticipated doses and shipments of both Pfizer and Moderna keeps changing.
In Kentucky, where two-thirds of the death toll occurred at assisted living or nursing homes, the vaccinations have begun. Governor Andy Beshear.
Every week we do not vaccinate our long-term care residents, we lose them.
But in some states like Idaho, those vaccinations may not begin until late January.
There's evidence public resistance to the vaccine is softening. A new poll says support for taking a vaccine has doubled since October to 46%. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar telling CBS this morning he and other health officials are being vaccinated this hour.
For me, for Dr. Fauci, for Dr. Francis Collins of the NIH, and for others out there as leaders, it's really important that we demonstrate our confidence in the vaccine.
It's back. back the red tide to Florida waters.
Red tide conditions have been reported between Naples and Fort Myers along the Gulf Coast. Brandon Krause was on the beach in North Naples.
I saw a lot of dead fish on the beach. I actually stepped on a dead catfish. 2 days ago, I was coughing pretty bad and sneezing.
Large fish kills have been reported in some areas, but beachgoers like Krause say they're seeing improvement.
Haven't coughed, haven't sneezed, so it's good.
Toxic algae blooms are always a concern. A massive red tide decimated Southwest Florida's tourism and fishing industries 2 years ago. Fish and wildlife officials say they're watching this one carefully. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
This is CBS News.
Brought to you by Capital One. Capital One's banking app lets you manage your money anytime, anywhere. This is banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One N.A.
Visit Boot Barn for quality gifts this holiday. Dan Post handcrafts their boots with both artistry and comfort in mind. From performance boots with cowboy-certified technology to premium exotic boots, every pair of Dan Post boots are crafted by 90 different artisans who have the boots in their hands from start to finish. For unmatched craftsmanship this holiday, Dan Post at Boot Barn. Unwrap the West.
To celebrate State Farm's surprisingly great rates, we gave this song surprisingly great lyrics. Farm is there.
The coronavirus is even changing why we go to hotels.
It used to be we went to hotels to escape work. Now some of us are going to hotels to escape to work. Hyatt's new Office for the Day program features perks like use of the hotel's pool, discounts at the restaurant, and the Headspace meditation app on the room TV.
Visualization can seem like a rather...
Senior Vice President Asad Ahmed.
It's an opportunity to go into one of our hotels and basically use that space to work for the day. And you can come in from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. We've got 400-plus hotels around the country.
Guests also get free high-speed internet. Rates start at $65 plus tax a day. Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
And finally, a New Zealand village, which is home to a rare breed of seabird, has begun switching off all its streetlights in order to stop the baby birds becoming confused and crash-landing onto the road. I'm Vicki Barker, CBS News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
It's an awesome product. I've got my uncle on it, my mom on it. I've got four or five of my best friends from high school on it. They all have their own little story to tell about this condition or that condition going away. So kudos. It's just an amazing product.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code FRUITS.
Newsmax TV. Everyone's talking about it. 30 million people are watching Newsmax for real news on President Trump, Biden, the election, and more. And make sure you vote in Newsmax's national poll asking if President Trump should concede. Just text FISH to 39747 and vote instantly. That's FISH to 39747. Watch Newsmax for great shows on major cable systems and free on Roku, YouTube, smart TVs, and more. Vote about Trump. Text FISH to 39747 today.
Daily, fresh cooked meals, neighbors that treat you like family, and a gorgeous place to call home. Welcome to the community of Westridge in Girard, Kansas. Westridge offers beautiful independent living apartments, as well as an assisted living facility for ages 62 and over. Enjoy their tranquil spa, beauty salon, and plenty of entertainment from games, TV rooms, and dining areas. Call 620-724-6760 to schedule a tour. Westridge Assisted Living in Girard. Find them fast in names and numbers.
This weather update is brought to you by Westgate Trailers in Springfield, home of big-time inventory and small-town prices. They've got all types of trailers, including utility, cargo, equipment, flatbed, and stock trailers. Give them a call at 417-351-6974 or check out their inventory online at westgatetrailer.net.
Here's your forecast on 860 AM KKOW and 97.5 FM Joplin.
With a clear and quiet start to our morning, clouds will gradually move in today, but temperatures will soar well above average, or high 66 with gusty south winds. Clouding up tonight, our low 48, Could see some scattered showers towards morning, then falling temperatures when a front moves through Wednesday into the upper 30s. From the AMI Radio Group 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Thanks, Dan. It's 8:07 and current conditions around the Forest State area. 39 degrees in Joplin, Missouri. 70% humidity. Got a wind speed out of the southeast at 9. It is 41 Rogers, Arkansas. 40 Miami, Oklahoma. And 39 in Pittsburgh, Kansas at 8:07. You're up to date in the Forest State. It's time for our national anthem and the Pledge of Allegiance. Our pledge this morning for Mrs. Corcoran's 4th grade class at Royal Heights in Joplin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is Four States Live with Shannon Bruffett.
Hey, I'm Carrie Underwood, and I love my country.
Oh, say can you see? Stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets rattled, the bombs burst.
Welcome back. This is Four States Live with Shannon Bruffett and local guests from right here in the Four States.
And welcome back on this Tuesday, December the 22nd. In the studio with us this morning, I saw you flying in. Thank goodness the police chief wasn't here. He was on a couple of weeks ago.
All right, that's good. That is definitely
Jim Ferguson is with us this morning. He is the chief of the Joplin Fire Department. Welcome this morning. We're officially in winter, and we haven't even really hit the cold months yet, but you guys have had a busy couple of weeks. In fact, you were busy this morning.
We were, since November 30th, we've had about 14 structure fires.
Wow.
12 of those within the city limits of Joplin. And they've been varying causes. There's been some suspicious fires. There's been some arson fires. There's been some accidental fires, definitely ones that could be prevented. So we took the time to come on your show and kind of talk about some tips to help folks have a safe holidays and a winter season.
So let's go ahead and start with the number one thing. Late in our book, my husband is wanting me to finish clearing out in front of the fireplace because he's like, we're having Christmas Day and we're going to have our fire. But people need to have those chimneys, those fireplaces inspected to make sure that when you light it up for that first fire of the season, that you don't have a ticking time bomb right there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. One of the big things for fireplace owners is to get that flue inspected, make sure there's no cracks. Flue fires can be pretty damaging if you don't catch them in time. They can actually spread to the attic, burn off the roofs of homes. I've seen several that have done that in the past. So it's important to find someone to not only inspect it, but clean it. Get that creosote that builds up over time off of there, because that's what catches fires, that creosote within the flue. So it's important to make sure you get it inspected by a professional.
Yes.
Get it cleaned. And then, like you said, make sure that you keep the area around the fireplace clear of combustibles, because, once again, those things burn. Mm-hmm. Presents, newspapers, wood, carpeting, those are all are easily able to catch fire. So it's important to keep that area clear around your fireplace.
Is it different having gas versus wood burning? I mean, or is there a difference, or do we need to have them inspected regardless?
I would get them inspected regardless, because even if you're gas, you're going to be burning wood, and wood creates the carbon that builds up, that mm-hmm. creosote on the flue. So I would get them clean and inspected. Wood fires places are a little bit different because they have different components, different pieces. But I still think it's important to clean them and inspect them every winter.
Better to be safe than sorry.
Exactly right. I mean, those little things, those preventative tips can really mm-hmm. Prevent a tragedy. So it's simple maintenance, preventative tips that will keep you safe and your family safe.
So we've had some accidental fires, and some of them have been electrical related. Do you see a bigger issue with older homes versus new homes? Because I know accidents can happen even if you built the house yesterday.
Yeah, older homes tend to be a little bit more of a hazard when it comes to electricity, because when those homes are built in the early 1900s, late 1880s, whatever they may be, if they haven't been retrofitted and upgraded, you know, those circuits only can handle so much. So it's important in those homes especially that you make sure that you're not overloading those circuits. If breakers are tripping and fuses are blowing quite frequently, there's a problem. So either you need to reduce what you've got plugged into that circuit, or have an electrician look and make sure that there's not something wrong with the wiring.
So whenever you talk about the overloading, it brings up that scene from A Christmas Story when they try to plug in mm-hmm. all the Christmas lights, and you just see that overloaded plug, and it's like, well, it's just one too many. Do you see a lot of that kind of issue?
Sometimes. We haven't this year, over my 20-year career in the fire service, probably just a handful of times. Most people realize that, hey, if you go to plug in an outlet and it's sparking, shooting sparks, things are going wrong, they know there's a problem, and they tend to fix that situation. But yeah, there are some folks that do, and I think it's important that when you're looking at things, you know, you mentioned a Christmas vacation, when you use an extension cord, mm-hmm. you want to use a heavy-duty extension cord. You know, those 97-cent ones that you get at any dollar store, Walmart, things like that, those things are safe, but they're not as safe as a heavy-duty one would be. We've seen a lot of fires caused by those cheap extension cords with the multiple plug-ins, things like that. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you have a heavy-duty extension cord.
I'll have to go shopping now, because now you're making me rethink what I've got going on in my house. And this time of year, people are looking for alternative ways of heating their home. Space heaters can be a big issue, too.
Yeah, space heaters, we see an increased use in the winter. The biggest thing that we can say about space heaters is when you make sure they're newer and have the modern technology. Some of the older space heaters don't have the safety features that the newer ones do.
Oh, come on, the ones that, like, glow red?
Yeah, those aren't good. Now, some of those older ones that do glow red still have the feature that when it tips over, it shuts off. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there is little kids can get their fingers in those, things like that. So when you look for a space heater, you want to look for a UL-listed space heater. You want to make sure that it has those safety features, that when it tips over, it shuts off. And once again, you want to keep that area around that space heater clear, 3 to 5 foot radius around. So no clothes, no trash, you know, whatever you may pile up around a space heater. It's got to be clear, because once again, we have seen several fires over the last several years that have been started by space heaters because stuff gets pushed up against those heaters.
And definitely unplug them when you're done.
Most definitely. We always talk about when you leave the home, if you don't need to leave it on, shut it off. The same thing with fireplaces. If you're not going to be there, make sure the fire's out if you can, because unattended things like space heaters, fires, those can also get out of control if something's left around them. So.
Well, we're going to be talking more with Jim Ferguson, again, the fire chief with the city of Joplin. That's coming up next. Fire safety coming your way. Even though it's not even fire safety month, we're heading into the time of year where you guys get tired.
It's important. You know, fire safety
year round
is year round, in our opinion. There used to be fire safety week in October, mm-hmm. but it's really turned into fire safety month. And then we always promote fire safety year round. So it's not just a month or week for us. There is a week that it's really hit hard.
Right.
But, you know, for our jobs and for the safety of our citizens, hey, we got to make sure that that.
That your phone's turned off? We've got more coming up on Four States Live. Stay with us.
You never know who might stop by. This is Four States Live with Shannon Bruffett.
The holidays are almost here, but it's not too early to start thinking about your spring crop insurance. Hi, I'm Brian Youngblood, and I want to visit you and your farm to create the perfect plan for your operation. Have you ever had a claim not go how you expected? At Specialty Risk Insurance, we are here for you every step of the way. Let's make sure your plan is up to date with correct acreage and production reports, and explore new products that fit into your business. Because to us, it's not just business, your family. Give us a call today, or visit our website, Specialty Risk Insurance. Agency.com.
Join KKOW 860 AM and 97.5 FM to hear the Kansas City Chiefs play football. Brought to you in part by Visiting Angels Joplin. Their compassionate caregivers can provide one-on-one essential home care services for seniors. Find out more online at visitingangels.com.
When preparing a meal for your family, you want to be sure you're using the very best. We feel the same way about our grain and feed. It's no secret you get the best milk from healthy cows. Goes to say you're happier when getting higher and better quality production from your feed.
Crescent Feed carries the best value, no additives or fillers. We supply feed stores over the local four states. Crescent Feed, family owned and operated since 1925. To find a location in your area or ask for dealer opportunities, call 417-866-4364.
Chief's Kingdom is a service of
WTI offers comprehensive training for a number of high-demand industries, including IT, HVAC, and healthcare. Financial aid is available to those who qualify. Learn the skills you need to build the future you want. Visit WTI.edu.
This segment is brought to you by Freeman Health Systems. Freeman Heart and Vascular Institute has a proven track record of shaving minutes off the time it takes to restore blood flow and save precious heart muscle. In fact, Freeman Heart and Vascular Institute beats the national average by more than 40%.
Here's your sports roundup on 860 AM KKOW and 97.5 FM Joplin.
Good morning, sports fans. In high school basketball, there was some action in Kansas last night as the Galena teams get a sweep at Baxter Springs 35-23 and 60-31. Action in Missouri last night on the girls' side, Nevada wins 58-50 at Pleasant Hill. Joplin gets a 32-20 win at Aurora. Cassville knocks off Reed Spring 57-41. Pittsburgh High wins at Webb City 42-20, and College Heights was a 61-26 winner at Lockwood. In the opening round of the Walnut Grove tournament, Morrisville knocked off Greenfield 34-28, Miller walloped the Galena Bears 89-17, and Crane was a 51-38 winner over Pierce City. In the only boys game of the night, Neosho wins 66-38 at Diamond. Action in Kansas tonight has the Iola teams at Pomona West Franklin, while the Coffeyville teams are at home against Sedan, and the Pittsburgh boys host Riverton. Girls action in Missouri tonight has Mount Vernon at Neosho and Diamond playing at Verona. On the boys' side, Webb City is home with Crane. Mount Vernon is at Fairgrove. Joplin plays at Parkview. Lockwood travels to El Dorado Springs, and Marionville is at Purdy. In the opening round of the Walnut Grove boys tournament, Verona faces Lighthouse Christian, and Miller takes on Pierce City. Division I college football, the bowl season officially began yesterday as Appalachian State knocked off North Texas 56-28 in the Myrtle Beach Bowl at Conway, South Carolina. Two more bowl games get going today as Tulane faces Nevada in the Potato Bowl at Boise, Idaho. That game starts at 2:30 on ESPN. Central Florida will take on BYU in the Boca Raton Bowl at 6 o'clock tonight, also on ESPN. Two more games are set for tomorrow as Georgia Southern faces Louisiana Tech in the New Orleans Bowl at 2 o'clock, and Memphis takes on Florida Atlantic in the Montgomery Bowl at 6. Both of those games can also be seen on ESPN. Sports for now. More in about an hour. We now return to Four States Live with Shannon Bruffett.
Welcome back to Four States Live. Want to be on the show or have a guest you'd like to see on Four States Live? Just email fourstates@kkowradio.com.
And welcome back. It is Four States Live on this Tuesday, December the 22nd. Jim Ferguson, we got you some water now. You've got a little bit of a break. Catch your breath because you guys are busy. Like yours is a 24/7 job.
We do. Our guys work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 a year. Our guys' typical shifts are 24 on, 48 off. Several of those.
Is that the California swing?
Is it not.
Okay.
The California swing's a totally different shift.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what ours is called. It's just 24 on, 48 off is what I've always known it as. So,
So I was throwing out terms thinking I was sounding smart, but I wasn't sounding smart this morning. And they go through a lot of training, and it's not just the initial training. Like you've got your crews are going through to become engineers. They're going through to be drivers. Like they go through training quite often.
Well, you know, I use the analogy all the time that what we do is no different than a sports team. We have to practice to be perfect at our jobs because in an emergency, those precious seconds matter, and we have to be good at what we mm-hmm. do. So this is no different than going out practicing football, baseball. Our guys train to be the best they can be every day because once they get off the truck, they have to go to work. There is no time. While mistakes are made, they're usually small ones, but you can't have those big ones that could cost someone their life, not only our guys, but maybe a citizen or a visitor. So training's a very integral piece of the puzzle. And, yeah, you're right. I mean, we have guys that train in swift water. We have guys that train in confined space rescue, trench collapse, high angle. So auto extrication, there's just, you know, the modern day fire department is really a all hazards fire department.
Right.
It isn't just solely focused on fire anymore. There's EMS, hazmat, technical rescues. There's a whole caveat of things that you can go on day after day after day to talk about. But yeah, training is very important for our guys.
And I got to tell you, which granted, I know Joplin didn't offer this. I went through the Citizens Fire Academy with Redding's Mill and Neosho many years ago. I got to tell you about auto extrication and popping your first window. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That is fun to do.
They are. And, you know, we did something like this it's been several years ago. They did a Fire Ops 101 type of deal for the city. Well, it was mostly for elected officials. Some mm-hmm. media folks attended. And that's something that we're going to try to do again in the near future.
Yes.
As resources are very limited.
Count me in.
We definitely will. We think it's important that people understand what we do.
Mm-hmm.
When those guys put on that bunker gear and they add about another 45, 50 pounds, and if throw an air pack on that, you can almost approach 100 pounds worth of extra gear. So it's important that the citizens, media, our local elected officials understand what we do. That way when we ask for something, they kind of have a better understanding of, oh, yeah, I've done that. This is why they need X, Y, or Z.
Mm-hmm. So. And you're right about the bunker gear. I mean, granted, I had to borrow bunker gear, obviously. I mean, bunker gear is expensive. It's a lot of weight to put on. And I've actually climbed to the top of a ladder truck in bunker gear mm-hmm. and back down. And no offense, I don't want to ever do that again.
I've done that a time or two. And, yeah, it is it's heavy. Now, I will tell you, as technology advances, bunker gear becomes a little bit lighter.
Yes.
A little bit easier to clean, things like that. So that's a welcome thing. And as you're right, it's expensive. It costs around roughly $2,000 a set
mm-hmm.
to make sure that our men and women on the fire department are fully protected with the best bunker gear we can buy. So, but you're right. It is heavy. It's cumbersome. The boots are awkward. So
they couldn't find boots small enough. And in fact, there's a video of me crawling in the boots and my foot completely turned. It was like, yeah, totally upside down. It looked very awkward.
Well, and I can imagine for someone like you, you're probably in someone else's bunker gear. So it's probably doesn't fit. We measure these guys.
Sure.
Get the gear custom fit. But it's very awkward if you get in a set that's too large or. Well, you can't get in one that's too small, so you're either in too large or it fits you perfect. And so.
Well, let's put it this way. I wear like size 6.5 women's shoes. So I think the closest they could find me was like size 9 men's.
Ooh.
So I was crawling right out of those boots. But it is an interesting experience to know what you guys go through. The pressure on those hoses, too. Like, you guys have to be in top shape year-round.
We do. Number one, not only, as you mentioned, the pressure on the hoses, you know, we pump our hoses between 125 and 140 PSI. That's nozzle pressure. So we can get 100 pounds at the nozzle. The things that these guys do, dragging people in and out of houses, mm-hmm. carrying people in and out of houses on medical calls, ladders, saws up the ladders on the off, yeah, these guys really do work out. The gals, the ladies work out. So
they do a lot of work. So, but we've been talking with Jim Ferguson again. He is the Joplin Fire Chief here with the city of Joplin, and we're going to be talking more about fire safety. Although I really want you to start up this class again, because sign me up, because it is so much fun. And there's a lot of scientific work behind it, too. It's not just putting water on a fire. There is some science behind this.
There's science behind it. There's techniques. There's all sorts of things. You know, it's not just putting the wet stuff on the red stuff. It is very important.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. The wet stuff on the red stuff.
So it seems that simple, but there are some things that we do. You know, when I first started, it was pretty much get in there, put the wet stuff on the red stuff. But you can create flow paths to make your job easier, to create a safer environment. There's ventilation things, that techniques that you can do. It really has become a strategy and in a very scientific way to put out a fire.
And I've got to tell you, if you've never been yelled at by Greg Hickman on the proper way during a training burn, you'll learn pretty quickly about that technique. So we've got more coming up here on Four States Live. Don't go anywhere.
You never know who might stop by. This is Four States Live with Shannon Bruffett.
Attention farmers, DeLang Seed has a good supply of high-quality certified seed wheat. Proven varieties for this region like Everest, Zenda, and WB4269. They also carry seed for cover crops, wildlife plantings, and forage, and they have the expertise to recommend specific varieties for your needs. Remember, all DeLang Seed does is seed, all year long. Give DeLang Seed a call today at 1-800-962-5429 or see them 3.5 miles west of Girard on Highway 47.
Smart shoppers will tell you they found it on HiBid.com. HiBid.com lets you explore thousands of auctions across the U.S. and around the world. You'll find gold coins, sporting goods, classic cars, collectible toys, fine jewelry, household items, and sports memorabilia autographed by the greats. HiBid.com has hundreds of thousands of items for sale every day. It's easy to search, and it's easy to find auctions in your area. Just go to HiBid.com. That's HIBID.com and see what everyone's talking about.
At Anderson Car and Tractor, they have the Kubota tractor you need regardless of the application. The Kubota M-Series tractor is built with power to tackle a wide range of jobs. Whether you're lifting, mowing, or baling, this is a versatile tractor that is perfect for the farm or ranch. Check them out at Anderson Car and Tractor, 3030 North Range Line Road in Joplin. Over 60 years of serving the four states, famous for their service after the sale. Anderson Car and Tractor. New year, new job. Are you ready for 2021? Come and join the family at Ajinomoto Foods Joplin. December 29th, Ajinomoto Foods Joplin is hosting a job fair. Be at North Park Mall in Joplin, Tuesday, December 29th. It's all going on from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The old Pack Sun Store. Outstanding opportunities are available. Key positions. Come in and ask about holiday pay. Right now, they have opportunities for general utility production workers on second and third shifts, and heavy lifters for first shift. Equal opportunity employer.
Here's your local news on 860 AM KKOW and 97.5 FM Joplin.
This is your KOAM news update. I'm Tanya Bach. The Joplin Health Department is providing an update on who will get the first doses of the vaccine. The first phase, called Phase 1A, is already underway, and that involves vaccinating residents at long-term care facilities and patients facing healthcare workers. Phase 1B will include those who are considered high risk, first responders, and essential workers. Phase 2 will include other high risk populations like prisoners and the homeless. The third phase will include all Missourians. The Joplin Health Department says how quickly we advance to the next stage will depend on vaccine distribution. The Jasper County Health Department reports 5 more COVID-19 related deaths. Officials say the patients were a man in his 50s, 2 women in their 60s, a woman in her 70s, and a woman in her 80s. This brings Jasper County's total deaths to 97. From the KOAM Newsroom, I'm Tanya Bach.
KOAMNewsNow.com, offering expanded breaking news and local coverage in the four states. Watch full newscasts from KOAM and Fox 14. See breaking news events and get weather alerts wherever you are. KOAMNewsNow.com, your go-to source for online news.
Here's your forecast on 860 AM KKOW and 97.5 FM Joplin.
With a clear and quiet start to our morning, clouds will gradually move in today, but temperatures will soar well above average, or high 66 with gusty south winds. Clouding up tonight, our low 48, could see some scattered showers towards morning, then falling temperatures when a front moves through Wednesday into the upper 30s. from the AMI Radio Group 24-Hour Weather Center. I'm meteorologist Ann Holliday.
Fair skies across the four-state area. 39 degrees in Joplin. It is 40 in Miami, Oklahoma. 41 Rogers, Arkansas. And 39 in Pittsburgh, Kansas. 70% humidity. A wind speed out of the southeast at 9 miles per hour. And at 8:32, you're up to date.
You're listening to Four States Live with Shannon Bruffett on 860 AM KKOW, 97.5 FM, and 105.3 New Life Radio.
And welcome back. It is Four States Live on Tuesday, December the 22nd. Jim Ferguson back with us this morning, the fire chief with the city of Joplin. We've been talking fire safety, although the last segment we kind of got off course a little bit. But I think it's important for people to know what a firefighter does because, you know, it's not granted. You guys have some great cooks. You do have some great cooks.
I will say that most certainly we have some outstanding cooks on the fire department.
Yeah, you had a chili feed last month to benefit the Firefighters Christmas for Kids program, and delicious. Delicious.
Yes, they did. This was a little bit unusual due to the COVID pandemic this year.
Right.
The firefighters solely cooked the chicken or the chili this year, and it did. It turned out fantastic. We actually went up and bought a couple bowls ourselves, and they did. They did a fantastic job, and some of these guys are almost gourmet chefs. Some of the things these guys and gals cook is just phenomenal.
Well, it used to be when I was a reporter, depending on where I was and I knew who was working, I would work my stories around lunch hours and drop by with either cookies as my donation or a couple of dollars to help pay for the food because there are some phenomenal cooks out there. But no, I think it's important that people know what you guys do. I mean, you go on medical calls. It's not just fires. Like you, I mean, just about every call that goes out, you're there.
Right. And as I mentioned last segment, you know, we are all hazards departments. So we respond to EMS calls, hazmat calls, technical rescue calls, auto extrication, auto wrecks, and things like that. So 68% of our calls are medical calls. So our guys and gals have to be just as versed on EMS stuff as they do mm-hmm. fire stuff, if not a little bit more, because there's so much more to a medical call. We respond anywhere from I fell down and hurt my knee to a cardiac arrest. So there's a wide array of things. So training in EMS is just as important as our fire training. So.
And a lot of these guys also work at METS or different ambulance services because, you know, they're 24 on, 48 off. They work. So, like, at other places, these guys keep busy.
They do. Most of our guys and ladies on our fire department do have secondary jobs, varying anywhere from lawn mowing to working EMS to construction, plumbing. So it's a well-versed group of men and women that we have mm-hmm. on the Joplin Fire Department. So there's a wide array of skills and talents that these folks have. So.
And one of those talents, obviously, is fighting fires. And you guys have had some busy weeks.
We have. Since November 30th, we fought 14 fires. Some have been accidental, a few suspicious fires, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our accidental fires, and one of the things I kind of talk about with you is candles. One of our fires was a candle. You know, when you burn a candle, everyone loves candles, especially around this time of year.
Sure.
They smell great. They make your house smell great, but they're dangerous. Once again, you have to make sure you're paying attention to what you're doing. Don't leave it unattended. Put it out before you leave. And make sure, once again, that they're not close to combustibles. This particular fire, if I remember correctly, was just too close to combustibles, caused some things on fire, and the fire spread. So it's important with candles that you do that. We had a fire where in a garage where some flammable liquids were spilled close to a gas water heater. Once again, you need to be aware of your surroundings.
Oh, the pilot light.
The pilot. And it flashed, caught that gasoline on fire in the garage. So you need to be aware of your surroundings. Make sure that when you're working with flammable liquids that you're not around an open flame, things mm-hmm. like that.
Do you see, I mean, and one thing that's been brought up, and we've had a couple of vacant structures that have gone up. Do you see an issue with people breaking in, seeking shelter from the elements and setting those fires? And they're accidental. They don't want to burn their shelter by any means. But do you see an issue with that, especially this time of year?
We do throughout the year. about 40% of our fires involve vacant structures, whether that be someone camping in those structures or, as you mentioned, homeless or transients will seek refuge from the elements. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll light warming fires and they'll forget that they got them, or they'll get up and leave and that fire will be left unattended and it'll just continue to burn, or the fire gets out of control, things like that. So we do see some issues with that, and we do about 80 calls, about 80 to 100 structure fires a year, and about 35 to 40 of those involve vacant structures where someone's camping in them or there has been some kind of accidental fire in the home.
So, and again, most of the fires that you guys fight are accidental, but most of them can be prevented, and that is keeping an eye on your surroundings, making sure that your chimney is properly cleaned and functioning.
Yeah, I would say that the majority of the fires, number one, are preventable with a little bit of maintenance and then attentiveness. Mm-hmm. So just pay attention to what you're doing on your fireplaces. You want to make sure that you have them inspected every year before you use them, have them cleaned every year before you use them, and then make sure that you keep the fireplace area clear. Also, when you go to use things, even with heating units, mm-hmm. have those checked out. We don't have a whole lot of fires started, but it's important, especially if you have a gas heater, to make sure that you get it checked out, that there's no leaks. Carbon monoxide is odorless, and it can do a lot of damage to your body, and if left undetected for periods of time, it can actually kill you. Mm-hmm. So one of the things you want to make sure that you do is get those HVAC, or the heating and air units, checked every year, especially this time of year, because people spend a lot of time indoors. Make sure they're clean filters. Make sure there's no leaks if you have a gas. Make sure the pilot light's operating correctly, things like that. With space heaters, once again, the modern space heater is better than the older versions. While the older versions do have some safety features that, you know, such as when they fall over, they'll shut off, little kids can still get their fingers within some of those grates or burners, whatever you mm-hmm. want to call them. And today's space heaters, they're really just complex. Almost look like a speaker, some of them.
Yes.
Do. So, you know, there's a little why you want to keep your kid away from it, because they can still burn. At least they can't stick their fingers directly into it. So once again, though, the modern, make sure they're UL listed. Make sure you plug them directly into the outlet. Or if you have to use some kind of extension, I would recommend using a power strip, because power strips have breakers that'll trip mm-hmm. before they cause any problems. And then all those space heaters have the when they tip over, they shut off. So, and then it's Christmas time, you know.
Yes.
So one of the things that we like to mention around Christmas time is if you have a live tree, keep that thing watered. A dry Christmas tree is a huge, huge fire hazard. They burn quick and hot.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you keep that Christmas tree watered. If
you can always look up that video. There is that famous video that fire departments, I think once a year, it's kind of like putting the frozen turkey in the deep fryer. Yeah. So there's a video you can go and look and see how quickly it can go.
You can go to YouTube and type in Christmas tree fire. Or I think NIST is the one that does it. There's mm-hmm. a timer, and it just shows how fast that those things will burn. If you're using Christmas lights, don't be Clark Griswold. Don't overload and sparks shooting everywhere. Be safe and be smart. Use a heavy-duty extension cord. Don't overload your circuits. Everyone likes a pretty house, but let's do it in a safe and secure manner so everyone can enjoy the homes for the holidays.
And turn off the tree at night go to bed.
Exactly right. Any tree, I would recommend even an artificial, but especially with the live tree, turn them off at night before you go to bed. That's exactly right. So.
And even LEDs, even though they typically, you know, burn less, those still can overheat, because we're still talking about electric.
You're exactly right. I mean, anytime you're dealing with electricity, once again, LED lights in an older home may draw a little bit more, so they may not be as safe. I'm not an electrician, so I could.
Oh, come on! You don't have that for your second job?
I don't. I don't. I have one job. but yeah, it's important to just a little bit of maintenance and attentiveness, and your home will be safe, and you'll have a great winter and a great holiday.
Absolutely, so. And of course, if you see a fire, If fire starts in your house, they always say, what, get out first and then call 911, because you want everybody out first, because you never know how quickly this can move.
That's exactly right. We've had several fires where that have probably caused more damage by the homeowner trying to put that fire out before calling 911. In some situations, a fire can grow double the size in 15 to 30 seconds, depending on what's on fire. So it's important that we get there as quickly as we can to not only make sure you're safe, but to preserve your property. So yeah, get out. If you practice exit drills in the home with your family, everybody get out, meet at that tree, that spot on the street, the corner, wherever you designated, and call 911 so we can come and handle the problem.
And you've got lots of stations here, and like, you got what, six?
We have six fire stations. We have a minimum staffing of 26 personnel per day. If we're full, we have 30 firefighters available in the city a day. They're all trained professionals, and they're trained to get that situation under control and can preserve your property. So call them, get them there quick, and let us handle the problem. Another thing that we haven't really talked on is smoke detectors.
Yes, absolutely. You
know, smoke detectors are extremely valuable piece of equipment.
And they're fairly inexpensive, too.
They're fairly inexpensive. And if you can't afford one, come to the fire station, we'll give you two because they're that important. A smoke detector gives you those precious seconds to get out of your house and have saved countless number of lives, mm-hmm. because when they work. But it's important that you change the battery when you change the clock. So a working smoke detector is another valuable life safety tool that you can have in your house. So.
Where should those be installed? Because I've heard it depends on who you talk to. Like, I've heard don't install them in the kitchen in case you have, like, mm-hmm. you know, smoke coming off. You don't want false alarms all the time. Where are the best places to put those?
Right. When we go and evaluate homes, so every home's kind of different. But we go and evaluate a home when myself or my fire marshal installs smoke detectors, or when the crews go out and install smoke detectors. Usually we don't, like you say, recommend putting them in the kitchen just for that very reason.
Okay.
But we do maybe put them just outside the kitchen. We try to put them outside living areas. Mm-hmm. There's some that will say, hey, put them in every bedroom. That's kind of overkill because we want to put them in areas where it can give you the quickest warning to get out. So a lot of times we'll put them outside sleeping areas, like in a hallway, mm-hmm. things like that. Those are the best places. And the number you need varies by the size of your house.
Sure.
So for my house where we live, we have four. Mm-hmm. So some may only need two or three. It varies.
And what about carbon monoxide detectors?
They're another valuable piece, especially if you have gas appliances such as a stove, heat, a gas water heater, things mm-hmm. like that. Now we don't tend to, we don't hand those out. We don't give those out, but that's another thing. Like I mentioned earlier, carbon monoxide is odorless. It's colorless. So you need as much warning as you can, because by the time you start experiencing symptoms, while you're not in trouble, you're already sick.
Mm-hmm.
So any early detection you can get. And those need to be, you know, once again, we don't recommend them being right next to the gas appliance, but we recommend them being up high, maybe in the living area, and then around the sleeping areas as well.
And you can get combination smoke detectors with carbon monoxide detectors, too. They cost a little bit more, but you can get combos,
you
too.
You can, yeah. One of the biggest, neatest things that we've been, because a lot of people don't know that smoke detectors actually have a shelf life. So if you open your smoke detector, most of them only are good for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you open your smoke detector and look at the date, if it's 10 years old, it's time to replace it. So some of the smoke detectors that we've been installing lately are all self-enclosed. The battery's enclosed. You never have to worry about changing the battery. It's got a 10-year battery. And at the end of 10 years, you just take it off the wall and you can put another one up and not worry about it for 10 years.
But you still need to test it.
You still need to test it. You need to make sure it works. That is correct. Yes.
So do that every 6 months, again, with the clock change. Just get your broom handle up there.
Punch the button.
Punch the button. Turn it off. And, you know, put the broom away until next year. So,
yes.
Well, we've got one more segment coming up here on Four States Live. Stay with us. Your time now is rolling up on 8:47.
You never know who might stop by. Four States Live with Shannon Bruffett. Online at kkowam.com.
And we're bringing it all together this holiday season with the lights, the sounds, and the celebration all under one roof. There's entertainment for the whole family and holiday bargains galore. Take in the fun, take in a movie, and find out what's happening at Meadowbrook Mall.
There's always something happening at Pittsburgh's Meadowbrook Mall.
When it comes to tractors, there's a perfect size for every job. Which means the only question that needs answering is, what are your needs?
Before you buy too much tractor for too little yard or too small a rig for too big a job, come in and find the right-sized Mahindra tractor at Tatum Motor Company. Having been in business since 1889, Tatum Motor Company has been working with farmers in the four-state area for over 130 years. They've got new and pre-owned Mahindra tractors and implements, and they always service what they sell. Mahindra tractors are heavier with more lift capacity, so you can push more, pull more, and lift more. And they promise you won't be envious of any other brands. Mahindra, the world's number one selling farm tractor and the official tractor of Tough. At Tatum Motor Company in Anderson, Missouri, or Springdale, Arkansas, and online at TatumMotor.com.
Stand united behind the grill and show support while setting the table. And join together at UnitedWeStay.com. Beef. It's what's for dinner. Funded by beef farmers and ranchers.
OE Nutraceuticals is a line of products developed by DMV, competitors, and professional feed nutritionists that are safe, drug-free, and effective for the equine market at a fair price for all levels of competitors. No other supplement company can compete with a full-scale therapy center as a clinical proving ground, real-world performance testing by leading competitors, and DMV-backed theory in product development. Give your horse the best supplement available. Call OE Nutraceuticals today at 620-249-9144.
Receipts for the South Coffeyville Stockyards Market for Friday, December the 18th included 995 head of cattle. Weaned and grazing steers sold steady. Weaned and grazing heifers sold $5 to $10 higher. New crop calves sold steady. Plain steers, bulls, and heifers also sold steady. And feeder steers and heifers sold steady to $4 up to $7 higher. In the choice steer market, three-weight steers and down brought 162 to 204, 3 to 4-weight steers brought 170 to 190, 4 to 5-weight steers brought 160 to 180, 5 to 6-weight steers brought 150 to 170, 6 to 7-weight steers brought 130 to 149, and steers weighing over 700 pounds brought $1 to $1.35. In the heifers, 300 pounds and down brought 133 to 160, 3 to 4-weight heifers brought 145 to 160, 4 to 5-weight heifers brought 130 to 150, 5 to 6-weight heifers brought 125 to 142, 6 to 7-weight heifers brought 122 to 137, and heifers weighing over 700 pounds brought $1.13 to $1.25. In the cows, pairs brought 775 to 1210, bred stock cows brought 700 to 980, high dressing cows brought 54 to 65, utility and commercial cows brought 44 to 54, canners and cutters brought 25 to 35 cents. In the bull market, high yielding bulls brought 70 to 86 cents, and low yielding bulls brought 70 cents and back. The next sale for South Coffeyville Stockyards will be on Friday, New Year's Day, at 11 o'clock a.m., expecting 100 head of 650 to 800 pound steers and heifers and 15 to 20 loads of yearlings.
You never know who might stop by, but it's going to be fun and informative. Welcome back to Four States Live.
And welcome back. It is Four States Live. Jim Ferguson back with us this morning, talking about fire safety. And you're a busy boy. Your phone keeps buzzing.
It does. That's just
That's the nature of the job.
Perks of the job, I guess.
The perks of the job.
Your phone never stops.
So you guys have been busy, and the thing of it is, with the fire departments, really with any emergency workers, it's a 24/7 job.
It really is. Like I said, the guys work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 years, average about 25 calls a day. So there's days that are busier than that. There's several days where we've done close to 40, 45 calls this year. It's been just a weird year all around. So
go 2020.
Yes, it's about done, thankfully. So.
Hopefully 2021 will bring some better things. And hopefully you guys are getting ready to start an academy for career firefighters. And that's going to be coming up in January. So talk about the academy. What do they learn?
Well, each academy is different based on the group of folks that we hire. This particular academy, we will do a full EMT class because mm-hmm. some of our new recruits will need EMT. Most of these will have Fire 1 and 2, so they'll go from an EMT class right to a finishing school. We've had some where we've done a finishing school, which is basically where we teach you the Joplin way, how to be a Joplin firefighter. We've had some that's just that component. We've had some where it's a full academy, which is EMT, Fire 1 and 2, and the finishing academy, depending. So it varies by what we hire.
It's very cool, and there's a lot of science behind it. And we've been talking about fire safety this morning. And speaking of science, cooking is a bit of a science, not just for your guys that can cook very well, but cooking fires, especially this time of year, can be an issue.
It is, and once again, it comes down to attentiveness. You have a lot of folks over for the holidays. You have stuff going on the stove. You're in the living room or dining room. You get pulled away for a brief conversation, mm-hmm. and you just forget. So the things that we recommend, especially for the holiday season or any time really when you're cooking, is number one, make sure you keep things away from the stove. Utensils, dishcloths, paper towels, wooden utensils, things like that. Any kind of food packaging that can readily catch fire. Mm-hmm. Keep that area clean and clear. One thing, if you're cooking, whether you're on a stove, whether you're frying, if you're frying, you are broiling, you should really stay with it the whole time. Mm-hmm. But if you have something on the stove, such as like macaroni, pasta, or something like that, where you can step away, or you have something in the oven, set a timer to remind you, hey, oh, I need to go back and check that. So that way when that timer goes back off, you can go back in the kitchen and make sure that everything's okay. But those are the biggest things that we see when it comes to cooking fires. It's just the inattentiveness in the kitchen. Now, some people like to fry turkeys, as you mentioned.
Right.
Once again, that's more a Thanksgiving thing. But there's people that fry turkeys during Christmas, so it's always a good time to remind everyone, if you're going to be frying a turkey, get it on a level surface, on concrete, gravel, away from the house. Make sure it's level. Make sure you don't overfill the pan, and then make sure your turkey's thawed. Those are the simple steps that are going to keep you safe when frying a turkey.
What do you tell your kids about cooking? Because here for the next 2 weeks, I mean, parents still have to work. Kids are going to be home alone. Like, what do you have parents teach their children about fire safety?
Well, once again, we just remind them the importance of
attentiveness,
yeah. And then making sure that maybe they're not cooking these complex things. Maybe they're using more of a microwave to do their mm-hmm. cooking, or maybe it's just something simple like, hey, boil some water, throw some macaroni, that type of stuff. But once again, the kids have got to pay attention. If at all possible, I tell my kids eat a sandwich, but of course, my kids are a little bit older, so
right.
they understand that. But I think it depends on the age of your child. Mm-hmm. An 8-year-old and a 10-year-old, maybe they should just microwave or make a sandwich. As they get older, maybe they could use a stove, and then you can teach them those steps. Hey, stay with your food when you're cooking it, things like that. So, but the biggest thing is pay attention to what's going on.
That, and if something should happen, get out.
Exactly. If a fire occurs in the kitchen and you're cooking, get out, call 911. A grease fire is a perfect example. People panic, throw water or some kind of liquid. Can't do that. You got to use baking soda.
I learned the hard way.
If you splash water on a grease fire, it's just going to splatter and catch your has a potential to catch your cabinets on fire. So little things like that. I would recommend that kids don't cook until they get of an age where you feel they're responsible to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 12 and above would probably be what I would consider.
Good, I've got 2 more years then.
Yeah, what I would consider. But, I mean, there are some mature 10-year-olds, so, it's hard to say you shouldn't do that, but it's okay for you, so. Yeah.
It's, you know, I think part of it comes down to, yeah, you're right, the maturity level, mm-hmm. and it's up to the parent and, right. and that sort of a thing. So thank goodness I still have 2 more years, though, because my kid's nowhere near.
Well, he's my 16-year-old. I wouldn't want him frying anything, but he can put a pizza in the oven and bake it, and I'm fine with that.
Right.
I wouldn't want him frying anything.
But but if something should happen, get out, call 911. Don't try to put it out yourself first, just... get out.
That's the key, because that's when people get hurt. That's when their fire gets out of control, is when you sit there try to battle a fire that is really, if we would have got there quicker, might have been just walking in there with an extinguisher, putting it out, versus having to pull a hose line and throwing a 125 mm-hmm. gallons per minute at it. So,
well, Jimmy, thank you so much for coming in this morning. And again, smoke detectors are key as well. If you don't have a smoke detector in your house and you live here in the city of Joplin, swing by the fire department. You guys will hook them up, because this could be the life-saving little round device that saves your family.
You're so right. The fire department cares so much about the safety of our citizens that we give them away for free. We want you to have those precious seconds to get out of your home in an emergency. So I appreciate being on. I want to wish you and your family Merry Christmas, and all your listeners and visitors and citizens of the city of Joplin, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. And once again, it was a pleasure being on with you.
Well, thank you. And I will not ruin your day by saying the Q word, right?
We don't say that word.
We don't say the Q word around emergency workers. I've learned that the hard way as well. So, but no, Jimmy, thank you so much for coming on. And I call you Jimmy because I've known you since like 93.
We have been earlier than that. Was it 93 or was it?
Joplin High School.
Yes, it was. It was in the 90s. It was at the old high school.
Yeah, because you're a 93-er, right?
4.
94. Okay, well, I graduated in 95.
Mm-hmm.
So we've known each other a few years. We used to hang in C Hall right before my Spanish class.
We did.
Every single day. Yeah. But, and I'm going to find that picture of you. I'm going to find that picture. So anyway, make sure you join us for a Wednesday here on Four States Live. Suzanne Nelson from Suzanne's Natural Foods, she's going to be stopping by. We're going to be talking all kinds of things, including organic wine that you can have at your holiday table. And no, we are not going to be sampling. Did you know Suzanne thought I said bring samples and then I said JK? And it took her 2 hours to figure out what JK meant.
JK?
Yeah. And I'm like, that was like the first emoji, lady. Like, JK. So anyway, Suzanne's going to be stopping by here on Four States Live. Everybody, make it a great day. Join us back here again tomorrow morning. It all gets started at 7 a.m. running through 9 a.m. And if you want to be on the show, hit me up with an email. That's fourstates@kkowradio.com. Or you can message me on my Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and look for Shannon Bruffett, AMI Radio. Have yourself a great day. Join us back here tomorrow.